Welcome to episode 492 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we feature a melodic conversation with chanteuse, jazz lover, Corinne Mamana. We talk with Corinne about her early days learning about the arts, musical theater, her influences, pop music, the American songbook, performing live, understanding her audience, how art helps society. And she even sings a little a cappella for us, a Halloween tune. I think you'll love it. Corinne Mamana on this week's episode. We have an EW essay titled Coal Miner's Daughter. We share a short essay about The Bus by Lucy Garbus, written for the September 2022 edition of The Sun magazine. And we have a poem called Shine Bright. Of course, all of this will be imbued, infused with the wonderful energy of several great tunes. It is so nice to be with you. Let's get to it then. Episode 492 of Troubadours and Raconteurs.
I know you've seen her.
coal miner's daughter. I was walking with Katie in the south side up a steep neighborhood road on East Mountain. I saw Trump, Oz, and the Virgin Mary congregated on a lawn of a small house across the steep street from an elementary school, with one-way signs and placards for vans and kindergarten entrance directions. The name of the educational institution affixed to the tan cinder block facade was Howard Gardner School. He's known for his theories of multiple human intelligence. I found its proximity and position across from the small house ironic. It would have been nice to see but one type of intelligence there. What about the power and beauty of music and dance, all art? Loretta Lynn recently passed, married at 13 in Kentucky, with 4 kids before most today earn a diploma. She was a coal miner's daughter. Her husband literally pushed her on stage after realizing the talent she had. Loretta, in many ways, was a champion of female issues, as can be heard in the songs she penned over the years. She could pick and strum a guitar and carry a tune, earnest and salt of the earth. She also, quite likely, would have Trump, Oz, and the Virgin Mary gathered on her front lawn, too. Mrs. Lynn did indeed support Trump. I know this, but I cannot tell my mother. It would greatly disappoint her. She loves Loretta. My mother is a coal miner's daughter.
He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy worked all night in the van near coal mines, all day long in a field of hoeing corn. Mommy rocked the babies that night and read the Bible by the coal oil light, and everything our clothes on a washboard.
Hello.
Hello.
Corinne Mamana, is that you?
It's me.
So nice to have you on Troubadours and Rock On Tours.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Before we get started, let me share a little background information with the listeners. Praised by Jazz Times for, quote, superb technique and all about jazz for her, quote, sheer genius arrangements, American jazz singer, songwriter, arranger, recording artist, and bandleader Corinne Mamana is passionate about preserving the music of the past while placing her own personal spin on the American songbook, as well as popular tunes from the past few decades. Troubadours and Rock On Tours is very happy to have on the program Corinne Mamana. Thank you so much, Corinne.
Thank you.
And how's it going today? Before we get into some deeper questions, everything going all right?
All's going well, yeah. We're in the fall here, so it's definitely a little chillier in the Pennsylvania area.
It is for sure. Yeah, you're a NEPA person too. Do you live close to Scranton?
So I'm in Easton.
Easton.
Yeah, it's about 1:15 from Scranton. Yep.
Yeah. Larry Holmes. I think of Larry Holmes when I hear Easton.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Larry Holmes Drive. Yep. That's where he's from.
And is that where you were born and raised?
No, I was born and raised outside Philadelphia in Plymouth Meeting. So kind of near King of Prussia area, the big mall.
Yeah. I've been there. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. Yep.
And music from early on was a big thing in your life?
Yes. I was always singing something. I was very involved in singing at my church growing up and also very involved in musical theater. So, yes.
I love musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
So you did a lot of plays and things like that when you're coming up with your school, maybe some independent groups too?
Yes. So all throughout high school, I was involved in the shows. And then I even went on to study musical theater in college, where I was classically trained in voice, but also musical theater styles. So, and then post-college, I worked in professional theaters in the Philadelphia area and beyond. That's where it all started.
That's great. And what college did you go to? I'm thinking of one in particular in Philly that I know is great for musical theater.
Yeah, I didn't go in Pennsylvania. I actually went to Virginia. I fell in love with the school called James Madison University.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. So, great education.
And so now you've been doing it for a few years, been out as a professional artist, and you probably think about even more so now about the influences you've had over the years. So, who would you say are some of your big musical influences?
Yeah. When I was growing up, I didn't really listen to jazz. I was, listening to a lot of pop music and country. I loved Jewel, Madonna, even Alanis Morissette, and then country singers like Shania Twain, Faith Hill. And then there was Billy Joel, of course. So listened to a lot of that type of music. And then, as I later on, when I fell into jazz, of course, I started listening more in that genre specifically. And my biggest influences now, I'd say, are Stacey Kent, Nora Jones, Ella Fitzgerald, of course.
Mm-hmm.
My top three right there.
Yeah, good ones for sure. Yeah. I love jazz vocalists generally, and I think of Ella for sure. I also think of Sarah Vaughan. Lately, I've been listening to her a lot.
Yes. Yeah, she's her as well.
Yeah, you can, there's hard to choose, right? There's so many great ones. And you mentioned in your bio the value of the American Songbook. Mm-hmm. For those who don't, I think I know a little bit about what the American Songbook, you know, its history and its importance in American culture. But maybe you can share your view of what the American Songbook is for the listeners.
Yeah, the American Songbook, it's this vast collection of American popular song dating back to, I'm not a historian here, so don't quote me, dating back to the 20s and 30s. And, you know, so you think of Duke Ellington and Cole Porter, all these great songwriters, George Gershwin, Irving Berlin, those are the earlier songwriters. And then later on, if you're familiar with the Brazilian style, Bossa Nova, Antonio Carlos Jobim, he introduced that style to our country in around the 60s. And that is also considered part of the American Songbook. I think it's an ever-growing collection. There's always new songs coming, and that's what it is in a nutshell.
Yeah, well explained. And you know, I guess as a performer, as an artist, and someone who really respects the songbook, it's and past artists' interpretations of particular songs from that songbook. Mm-hmm. It must be sort of exciting prospect, and also a little daunting of a prospect to interpret a song that one of your idols has interpreted in the past.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, trying to put your own style on a stamp on it, but also honoring the past. Yeah.
Are there any particular songs that come to mind that, is that type of song?
Let's see. There's so many. Trying to think of a specific style.
Something from Ella, maybe.
Yeah,
Julie.
Fresh on my mind is Autumn in New York. Mm-hmm. She did a duet with Louis.
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. So, yeah. This phrasing so specific. So, yeah, it's like learning from them, being inspired by them, but not quite copying, I guess.
Right. Exactly. Because they wouldn't want that either.
No. Because we all have our own life experiences, and you want to try to put that into a song. So
you take your own, the songs usually deal with, the eternal human struggles and joys and such. You want to interpret them based on how you feel about them, right? Lost loves, or being melancholy for whatever reason, or being joyous because you found someone new. Yeah, it has to be your sense of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, trying to put yourself into a song, and if you don't have that experience, then imagining what it might be like. Mm-hmm.
When you are doing that in front of a live audience, can you tell when they're feeling with what you're projecting and what you're feeling in a performance?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts about performing. When they're locked in just as much as I am. Yep, absolutely.
It must feel in some ways they're applauding for you, and you're probably thinking to yourself, No, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you want them to be locked in and listening and, connected.
Well, you know, when you look for a song to interpret, besides, you know, maybe writing your own, is there something, what about a song catches your attention where you say, you know, I think I can do this one?
I think I hear the chord changes first. I hear, you know, I'm really drawn to minor songs and the darker ones, really emotional. Yeah, it's like the chord changes I'm drawn to first, and then I'll go in and look at the lyrics, and you know, usually they match the mood of the song and what you're hearing. But yeah, I'd say hearing the chord changes first.
Can you explain that a little bit more? Like, what is it about chord changes that will really get you? Like, wow, yeah, that's it.
Ooh, I guess it depends what I'm feeling in that moment on that very day. Yeah, like today's a rainy day, and you know, I would definitely be drawn to more of the darker sounds and more emotional ballads. And then another day, you know, I might feeling super cheery and, you know, sun's out and I'm feeling this really up-tempo piece. It really depends on my mood.
that's what I would hope for, you know, really, yeah, with an artist. So let's say you have a show planned, you know, you're playing at the Blue Note and you have a set list, but where you're at in your mood is not where the songs are. Do you change it, or do you wait until you know where you're, you know, I guess that's kind of hard because you have a bunch of musicians working with you.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I definitely plan my set list out before a gig, and I have put all the music together for all the musicians. So in a way, I have to have a plan. But in the moment, you know, the audience might be leading you a different way. They might, you can sense when an audience really likes a song. Oh, they like that one. So you might change your set a little bit. Usually I use the songs that I brought and then change it from there. Change the order or a feel of a song. Many of these songs can be performed different ways. You know,
yeah,
a medium swing versus a more up-tempo, or even change it to a bossa. There are things that can be done in the moment.
And jazz musicians, they know how to adjust. At the,
oh, yeah.
That's one of the brilliant aspects of jazz, in my opinion.
Yes. Usually pretty flexible.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a mutual friend. One of your colleagues is a percussionist and pianist, Mark Marcinko.
Yes, I'm playing Friday.
I know. I think he's playing piano, right?
He is. Yep. Yeah.
Excellent. Where's that? We can give a plug. Where's that at? In case people who are listening, because it depends on when this is airing. A lot of people will hear this after the fact, but some folks might hear it beforehand. So for those who might hear it before the gig, when and where is the gig?
The gig is Friday, October 7th at Catch 21 Steak and Seafood in downtown Scranton, right on the corner. And it's at 6:30 to 9:30. We'll be doing two sets. That'll be cocktails and delicious food.
Excellent. Now, let's get back to the arrangements. The process of creating arrangements for certain standards. And I have a list of a couple songs that I know you're known for doing distinct versions of. Music of the Night, On the Atkinson, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
So the process is different with each song, but with Music of the Night, I'll start with that one. In general, I just love taking a song, especially if it's well-known or familiar to most people, and playing with different feels and tempos. So with Music of the Night, of course, that's Andrew Lloyd Webber's song from Phantom of the Opera. And I was flipping through some songbooks that I have and came across Music of the Night. And I just thought, oh, what would it sound like as a bossa feel? So I started to play around with that, you know, at my piano, playing through the chord changes. And I took it a little bit faster than the original. And then I decided, wouldn't it be nice to open up the song a bit and have a piano solo over the sections that are in between the verses that are usually sung, just to give it more space, because there's a lot of words in the song. And that's what I did, and it turned out beautifully. So it's just vocals and piano, so there's no other instruments. It's a duo. And yeah, my pianist Sean Goff, who recorded it on the album, once I met with him and presented my ideas, we just sat down together and played around with that idea of having the verses and then the piano solo alternating. So it's one of my favorites.
I can tell. And in case we might forget to do this at the end,
mm-hmm.
Where could folks pick up the album? What's the name of the album? And where can they find it?
Yeah, the Music of the Night is on my Yes, No, Next album. And, you know, besides being available on all streaming and downloading platforms, you can also purchase directly from me, the artist, on my Bandcamp website. And probably the easiest place to find, well, you can go to Bandcamp and type in my name, or you can go to my website, which is corinnemusic.com, corinnemusic.com. You can find it all there.
Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And is it hard making a living being a jazz vocalist and musician?
Yes, it is not easy. I do also teach private lessons. So I'm a full-time musician that I perform and I teach. So I do both. And yes, it's very challenging. So.
But you probably couldn't really fully function as a person without being an artist of this sort, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I have to do it. It's a burning desire that hasn't gone away yet. So.
And do you teach voice and piano, or just voice, or what?
I teach both. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is it fun to share some of what you love and what you know with young people and seeing them get interested and excited about it?
Absolutely. Yep. It's very, very rewarding to see my students grow and see them perform. And yeah, it's inspiring to me to see that all happen. Yeah, makes me want to be a better artist, for sure.
You're listening to Troubadours and Rock on Tours with E.W. Conundrum Demure on WFTE Radio, Mount Cobb and Scranton, Pennsylvania. Community radio at its finest.
Well, you know, I had Delphio Marsalis on a little while back, and we were talking about jazz and it continuing on from generation to generation, and he was concerned that it wouldn't, so easily. He's concerned that oftentimes it's people that are older that like it, or people that have extra cash flow, that can afford the expense of some of the shows that are available with the, really top shelf musicians, and it's not accessible enough to, the masses. Do you share a similar concern? Do you see what he's saying?
Yeah, I definitely see, you know, most of my audience is in the older generation. But also there's a lot of younger artists coming up. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of them that are intrigued by this older style, you know, the whole image of dressing in vintage. You know, not all jazz artists do that, but there's, I think there's hope, let's just say. I think there's hope for it to continue. It might be different than before, and that's okay. That's all right.
Yeah, it has to kind of develop, right? I mean, it's weird in a way. You do want to respect what has been written and composed and performed by these great artists, and you want to be true to that approach, to that style. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, yeah, nature, it makes it necessary that things evolve, right? Adapt.
Yeah, and there's a lot of original material coming out. So, yeah, I think we're going to be okay.
Good. Yeah, I hope so. I love jazz. And you mentioned the dress. That's one of my favorite parts about some of the, you know, the cool jazz cats from back in Miles Davis's day and Thelonious Monk and all the great players from back, and, you know, Ella and Sarah and Billy. They all dressed so classy. Again, it could be 100 degrees out and they're playing on a stage somewhere, but they're in their suit or they're in their gown, you know. It's just so classy. I love it.
Yeah, me too. I hope that stays.
I do as well. So when you look at the world today and you think about, you know, we won't get into anything specific. We have challenges, as always, in society. Mm-hmm. How does art help with, you know, these challenges for humanity, for society, would you say?
Art, well, yeah, it can be an escape, first of all, from all the craziness in the world. It can be a safe place. It's the cliche, when words fail, music speaks, or, you know, music is the universal language. It's a way for all of us to connect in a way. I'd say that's how I feel about art and the world. But then there's also, you know, people can write about it in their music. Does that answer your
question? Yeah, sure it does. Yeah, it is art, in particular music. You bring up a good point. You know, oftentimes the issues at hand can be addressed via the lyrics of the particular song, as well as the anguish or the discontent, the feeling of that through the music simultaneously. And it's powerful when it's done, you know, right, so to speak. It's powerful. And you know when you're experiencing it.
Yeah. Music heals. It can.
Oh, it certainly can. It certainly can. So, you know, it's wonderful having you on Troubadours and Rock on Tours. We're just about done, you know, with this segment. Wow. Love to have you on again.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It's been fun.
Yeah, you're easy to talk with. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you. Likewise.
Have a nice holiday time this year. Have a nice...
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, the next one coming up is Halloween. You big into Halloween?
Yes. And I love doing Halloween songs at my shows. So.
Oh, yeah? Like what? What kind of songs you do? What kind of Halloween songs?
Oh, well, there's Spooky, the Dusty Springfield song, Classics 4. You know that one?
Yeah. Well, can you give us a la cappella?
In the cool of the evening when everything is getting kind of groovy. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That was wonderful.
Spooky. I do a version of Thriller by Michael Jackson. Of course, there's Bewitched.
Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, that one?
Yeah, that one.
Awesome. Oh, wow. I got to see your Halloween show.
There's so many Halloween-y songs. So.
You know what you're dressing up as yet?
No, I haven't gotten that far. Have you?
No, I have not yet, but I'm going to make it fun, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll see you at an upcoming show.
Yeah, come on out.
It's so nice to have you on our program, and you have a great energy, and man, your voice is beautiful. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, we'll talk with you again. Take care of yourself.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
If I wrote you tonight, it would go like this. And then ooh, if I
And now, something from the September 2022 edition of the Sun magazine, its Reader's Write section. This is a piece written by Lucy Garbus from Florence, Massachusetts, on the subject of the bus. The bus that took me to school cost $1 each way, a fortune in the early 1970s, but my parents felt the price was worth it to protect me from the dangers of the subway. My family lived in a safe, working-class neighborhood in the North Bronx, and the school for intellectually gifted girls I began attending in seventh grade was located in Manhattan. Every morning, a bunch of my classmates and I would board a bus full of white businessmen. While the other kids kept busy with homework or gossip, I sat and looked out the window. As we rode through the South Bronx and East Harlem, I saw brightly colored produce stacked neatly in front of bodegas, little girls playing double dutch, and on cold days, men warming their hands over a fire in a barrel. I also saw tattered furniture on the sidewalks, broken windows, graffiti, people lying in doorways, and empty lots filled with garbage. I felt both lucky and guilty to be only passing through, observing it all from the comfort of my seat. At school, I learned about the Russian Revolution, why we needed the Equal Rights Amendment, and how to speak French. But no one ever taught us why there was such wealth in the city and such desperate poverty just blocks away, or why the people in those poor neighborhoods were mostly black. The view from that bus window helped make me who I am now, a nurse who could not imagine working anywhere other than a community health center in a poor neighborhood. I learned early on that life is unfair, and more than anything, it's a roll of the dice that determines whether you need help or are able to give it.
Crazy with a spooky little boy like you.
shine bright. Lavish, I languish in the dreams of a proletariat king. Sweet smells of the morning forest signal the beginning of another day. Fresh off too much labor and not enough play. The stars shine bright anyway. The moon is almost harvest, as the sun gives it yellow and orange. I am an Italian mountain man from northern Africa, fighting for freedom in America. Can you see my long white beard?
After one whole quart of brandy, like a daisy, I'm awake. With no Broma seltzer handy, I don't even shake. Men are not a new sensation. I've done pretty well, I think. But this half pint imitation put me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again. A simpering, whimpering child again. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? He is cold, he can laugh, but I love it. Although the laugh's on me, I'll sing to him each spring to him, and long for the day when I'll cling to him. Be bothered and bewildered am I. He's a fool and don't I know it, but a fool can't have his charms. I'm in love and don't I show it, like a babe in arms. Love's the same old sad sensation. Lately I've not slept a wink since this half-pint imitation put me on the blink. I've sinned a lot, I mean a lot, but I'm like sweet 17 a lot. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. I'll sing to him each spring to him, and worship the trousers that cling to him. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. When he talks, he is seeking words to get off his chest. Horizontally speaking, he's at his very best. Vexed again, perplexed again. Thank God I can be oversexed again. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Am I wise at last? My eyes at last are cutting you down to your size at last. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered no more. Burned a lot, but learned a lot. And now you are broke, so you earned a lot. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered no more. Couldn't eat, was dyspeptic. Life was so hard to bear. Now my heart's antiseptic since you moved out of there. Romance, Finny, your chance, Finny. Those ants that invaded my pants, Finny. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered no more.
And there you have it. Episode 492 of Troubadours and Raconteurs, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, Quirin Mamana, The Sun Magazine, writer Lucy Garbus, and these musical artists: Thelonious Monk, R.E.M., the great Loretta Lynn, Quirin Mamana, Dusty Springfield, and Ella Fitzgerald. And of course, I would like to thank you for listening. Until next time, let's give it a go and do our best with this time. Take care.